Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently taking us through Ephesians, and coming up, we're learning how a Christian needs to conduct themselves in the workplace, and we're looking to Jesus as our example. So join us as we turn to chapter 6 and study verses 5 through 9 as we go back to basics.
A lot of times young people today, they want to start out, you know, their first job, they want to start at 100 grand a year. You know, I'm not taking anything less than 100 grand, you know? Yeah, I know I'm still in junior college, but you know, I deserve it. I'm a bright person. I got a great future ahead of me. It's like, come on, let's be realistic. You start off with a minimum wage job. That's just the way it works. And it's not bad. It's not the evil capitalists that are oppressing us with this. It's just the way it works, and it's okay. And we need to be happy, thankful, blessed by the fact that we even have a job, the fact that we get a decent wage. The minimum wage in California, I think, is currently $9 an hour. And you might say, yeah, see what I mean? $9 an hour. Well, I remember when the minimum wage was like $2.75. Some of you remember that too, right? But listen, let's put it in perspective. The minimum wage in California is $9 an hour. Listen, 1/3 of the world's population lives on $2 a day. $2 a day. So we want to complain about $9 an hour? Come on, $2 a day. 1/3 of the population, 2 billion people plus, live on $2 a day. So we need to be thankful. We need to be appreciative. We, you know, really, truly, here in the United States of America, we have it so good. Even in the most difficult places, in the hardest spots, and certainly there are some, it's still really good comparatively when you think about what most people in the world experience in their job experience, in their wage and so forth. So thankful for our jobs and for our wage. Of course, if we earn a raise, if we need a raise, and that's good. We can desire that. But it's the attitude of entitlement that's the problem. And you know, that's really becoming more and more pervasive in our culture today. And unfortunately, it's coming down to us now from even our government, you know, just this attitude that everybody's sort of entitled. But as Christian people, we simply need to be thankful that we have what we have, the job and the wage that we have. We need to give thanks for it. So this is the attitude of the employee. This is what Paul says. But he moves on from there, and he addresses then the masters or the employers, and he says to them, he says, and you masters do the same things to them. So I pointed this out in our previous message that it was the New Testament, it was the teaching of the apostles, it was the gospel of Jesus Christ that brought the sense of equality that the slaves in that cultural situation, that they had rights as well. And so as we translate that into our current situation, the employer needs to remember that the employee has rights as well. So just as Paul has been saying to the employees, okay, these are the things that you are to do, he turns around to the employer and says, now you do the same things. So those kinds of things that we're talking about, where there's the respect and doing things sincerely and so forth, that applies to the employer as well. But let's look at a few things. So when he says do the same things, then I would say that we could talk about fairness in the workplace, coming down from the top, from the employer. Fairness in both task and wage. So if you are an employer, you have an obligation to be fair to your employees. Now, of course, this has been an ongoing problem for ages, but it's that situation where the employer is taking advantage of the employee, where the employer is making a million times more than the people who are doing the work. Now, obviously, there's a place for somebody who pioneers a business or invents something to do that. But there needs to be the recognition that there should be a fairness as well. So there should be fairness in regard to the task. In other words, we shouldn't overly burden people, put back-breaking task on them that's going to crush them. And there also needs to be a fairness in wage. Instead of just looking to enrich myself and not really thinking about those who are working for me, I need to think about those who work for me as well. And I need to be concerned about their well-being. I know Christian businessmen and people who own different companies and things, and I've seen this kind of good, godly ethic there where there's a concern, not just for their own enrichment, but they really have a concern for their employees. It's a beautiful thing. And the workplace becomes like sort of like an extended family. I have one friend who's a business owner, and he's on a number of occasions, he's thought about selling his business. He's kind of tired and, you know, wants to move on and do something else. But every time it comes down to where it looks like he might sell it, he pulls back. And I've asked him a few times, I said, oh, so what happened now? He goes, I know they'll come in. They won't treat the employees right. So his concern is for the employees. He kind of looks at them as family. So he could sell the business and get out of it and make a lot of money, but he knows that the people coming in won't have that same harder attitude for the folks there. And so he just pulls back and says, no, I'm not gonna do it. I look at that and I think that's the kind of employer that we're talking about here. That's what the Bible is referring to here, where there's a fairness and a concern. And secondly, there would also be a respect toward the workers. A respect toward the workers. Remember, Paul is reminding us here that there's no partiality with God. There's an equality. And sometimes it's easy for us as human beings, we naturally go in this direction. It's easy when we're in a superior position to get arrogant about that and to start looking down on the people that work under us and to somehow think that we're better than they are and to even disrespect them. But that should not be the case. If I am a believer in Jesus and I am a business owner, if I'm an employer in some way, I need to have respect toward those who work for me. You know, there's that picture back in the Old Testament book of Ruth, that little book of Ruth. There's Boaz, he's kind of one of the main characters in the story of Ruth there. And Boaz is a wealthy business owner. And he has all of these employees that work for him. And there, as you're reading through the story, it pictures Boaz as he goes out and he daily greets his workers. And he greets them with a blessing. He comes and he just pronounces a blessing upon them. And they, in response, come back with a blessing toward him as well. That's a beautiful picture of the attitude that we should have if we are employers toward those that work for us. So respect toward the worker, and then again, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. So just like the employee is doing this with goodwill, doing it with sincerity of heart, doing it with all of their heart, doing it to do the best job possible, so the employer has that same sort of a heart toward those who are laboring under their leadership. There's a goodwill toward them, directed toward them. And Paul says here, giving up threatening. Giving up threatening. So there's not to be a harshness or a tyrannical sort of a attitude that's coming from those who are at the top, so to speak. But there's to be a graciousness and a kindness. Now, having said this, I want to take it and now I want to put it in the context of Jesus himself. And that's why we read the passage in John today. Because there, we see that Jesus himself, he is both master and slave. And so in Jesus himself, we see, there's an example for us. If you're the employee, there's an example for you in Jesus because he was a slave. He referred to himself as that. But he's also clearly the master. So we see in Jesus, for those who are in the position of employer, we see that here's a model for us to exemplify. And so as we go back to the story that we read of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Now, it says there a couple of things that we need to note. It says that as Jesus was about to do this task of washing the disciples' feet, it says he did this conscious of the fact that he had come from God and he was going back to God. So it prefaces the story of him washing the disciples' feet with that. Jesus, knowing that he had come from God and that he was returning to God. So he's fully cognizant of his deity, that he is God. And what does he do? He strips himself down and he girds himself with a towel and he takes a basin of water and he goes and he begins to wash the feet of the disciples. Now, what Jesus did, fully conscious of who he is as God, he takes the lowest possible position because the washing of the feet was reserved for the lowest of the servants. That's why the disciples reacted. And Peter's the one we get insight into his reaction. That's why he reacted the way he did. He's like, Lord, what are you doing? You can't do this. You know, Peter understood who Jesus was. No, Jesus, you can't do this. You're the Lord. You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus says, well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Oh, okay, well then, you know, just give me a bath. I want to make sure I'm part with you. But obviously, Peter didn't understand what was going on, and Jesus made that clear. He said, you don't know what I'm doing right now, but you will know later. You'll know afterward. And then he said this. He said, if I, your Lord and your master, have done this for you, then you are to do this for each other as well. So you see, Jesus was the Lord and the master. He was indeed, he knew fully who he was, but he also was a slave, and he became the servant, the lowest servant. You know, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, and especially as we look at that example that Jesus set there, taking that lowest position, you know, there's nothing that's below me. There's nothing that's below you. And even though you might be elevated in your position on your job or whatever, never lose sight of the fact that although you might be the master, you still are a slave. You're a slave to the Lord. And we should never come to a place where we look down on certain things and say, oh, well, you know, I'm just so above that now. I could never do anything like that. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, I see that attitude develop even with people in ministry. They feel like they've kind of arrived to a certain place. And, you know, the word minister means servant. The English translates a Greek word that could be translated servant. It translates it sometimes as minister. And so those who serve pastorally and so forth, we refer to ourselves as ministers, but then sometimes something comes along where we have the opportunity to minister, to serve, and we think, oh, no, you know, I'm really above that these days. I used to do that, but now I've ascended to a higher place, and I no longer do things like that. Jesus was at the highest place you could ever get, and taking the lowest position, he did not see that as a conflict. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Mark 10:44, he that would be the greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. So you see, this is the attitude that we are to have. And think about it, in the workplace, if you as an employee have that, if the employer has that, that's gonna create a really wonderful work environment. And if we took everything that's said here and truly applied it, it wouldn't only create a wonderful work environment, it would create a very productive work environment as well. Because we're doing what we're doing as unto the Lord. And as Christians, we should be truly the best employees. We should be the one that our boss is looking at us and saying, man, I just love the way that guy works or the way that young lady works. Yeah, they're amazing. They're enthusiastic. They're devoted. They're serious. They're committed. Because doing a good job on our jobs is part of our service to God. Now, when you think about serving God, in your mind, for one second, think about that with me. Okay, I want to serve the Lord. When you think about serving God, you think, you know, I want to serve the Lord, and I just want to do the minimal. I'm going to do the lousiest job I can for the Lord. No, you would never think that way, right? Of course not. Hopefully. But listen, when you go off to work tomorrow, guess where you're going? You're going to serve the Lord. He's the Lord over all these things. If you've got a job, then you know what? That's a place of service for you. I mean, think about it. 90,000 hours of our lives are going to spend on the job. That's a lot of time. But that all of that time can be invested in this is work for God, regardless of what it is. That's one of the beautiful things about the way it works in Christ is that whatever we do, we can just do it as unto the Lord. Whatever we do, whatever task it is. And it might be something that you just don't like doing at all. Something that naturally you would despise doing. But you know, when you take it and say, you know, I'm going to do this for the Lord. It completely changes the whole thing. And whatever you're doing, as you're doing it unto the Lord, if it needs to be done, you can count on the fact that there's value in it. Sometimes we feel like what we do is mundane. We feel like it's worthless. I mean, you know, why am I doing this? What does it matter anyway? But if you just put it in that perspective of, you know, it's a job. It needs to be done. I'm paid to do it. I'm able to pay the bills through it. You know, God, I'm doing this for you. And the whole thing changes. Honestly, something that has worked against the advancement of the gospel has been people who are professing Christianity, talking about their faith, but being lousy employees. That's worked horribly against the advancement of the gospel. That does happen. You know, somebody will come into a place and, hey, I'm a Christian, and they, you know, talking about the Bible and Jesus said this and all of that, but yet they don't show up to work on time. They try to, you know, get out of there as quick as possible. They never want to help anybody out. They're not really doing a good job on their particular task, and yet, praise the Lord. And people look around and say, wow, man, you know, it'd be better to just don't say praise the Lord. Just be quiet. No, you know what's actually a better witness is just work hard. Be diligent. Be faithful. And people will find out that you're a Christian. And they'll put those things together and go, wow, man, that that guy's a Christian. That lady, she's a believer in Jesus, but look how hard they work. That's great. You see, that's the greater witness. I mean, I have heard many times over the long years of pastoral ministry, I've heard employees come in saying, hey, look, you know, we hired this guy, he comes to your church, and, you know, he's really a bad witness. And it just, you know, doesn't do anything, just witnesses all day. Says he's serving God, he's sharing the gospel with people. And then I've actually had occasions where I've had conversations with people. Hey, look, I helped you get this job, and now you know the guy's telling me that you're not doing anything. He's like, hey, bro, you know I'm witnessing. You know I got to tell people about Jesus. No, you show them Jesus. Work hard, and tell them after work about Jesus. That'll work out. Take them to dinner or something. So. Christianity is the religion of the rubber meeting the road. It's, you know, it works on this level. It's supposed to work on this level. It's about every aspect of life. And I'm going to close with quoting from Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 and 23. And this kind of ties it again all together. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. So those two things, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you're doing, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. As an employee, work in the name of the Lord Jesus. As an employer, approach your whole business life in the name of the Lord Jesus, and whatever you're doing, do it with all your heart. That's the idea. Do it heartily means to do it with all your heart, because you're doing it for the Lord. That's the best perspective that we can have. We just take that with us into the workplace. I am doing this for the Lord. This is my work for God. A lot of people come and say, you know, I don't know what I can do for the Lord. I'm not sure what I'm gifted to do. And of course, there are many things, but oftentimes I'll say to a person, you know, what do you do for a job? They'll tell me where they work. Do that for the Lord. That's a place to start. And as we do these practical things, and as we've looked at this section, all of the, just the daily life that we live, as we live it to the glory of God, this helps in the advancement of God's kingdom. And that's, in the end, that's really what it's all about, right? We want to see God's kingdom furthered. And so one of the ways we can do that is by being faithful with the task that is put before us, doing it with a Christ-like attitude and doing it for the glory of God.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com. Click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Christian in the Workplace, and the resource number is BBE0039. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you've ever longed to travel to Israel to visit the land of the Bible, Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are inviting you to join them May 5th through 17th in 2016. Going to Israel is an unforgettable experience. It's a time to grow in your knowledge of the Word, make new friends, and see Bible prophecy fulfilled before your eyes. You can get all the details at israel.cccm.com. Thanks again for tuning in today. And we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.